Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm delighted to welcome a golfer and a golf coach, and I think I need to go to him and learn a little bit to improve my game, Tarun Sardesai from Kolar, Bangalore, India. Tarun, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashto. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Tarun is a golf coach. He is the founder of the Tarun Sardesai Golf Academy at Zion Hills Golf County in Kolar. And he's pioneered India's first ever residential academy with academics. So Tarun, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
I think the first milestone is actually when I actually started playing golf, because I was into so many different sports. I was really good at cricket, tennis, football, hockey. I was a champ in my boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And the day I picked up a golf club, it was kind of love at first miss, if you ask me, because I tried to hit a golf ball and I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became an ego hassle. So that was definitely one of the milestones. And the second big milestone was when I actually quit everything else to take up golf seriously.
Wow.
I always knew I'd do something other than, your mainstream type of work, but I never really thought golf would be what I would take up that seriously. So I actually left boarding school purely to, to pursue golf. And luckily I had, my parents were very open to taking up sport as a career.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one actually was when I quit playing professionally to teach. That was a huge milestone, because it was one of the toughest decisions I had to make in life.
Correct.
But I had a good mentor at the time who actually mentored me through the process. And so I would say these are the three milestones in my career.
Perfect. So let's start talking a little bit about golf before you come to the academy.
Sure.
Tell me about the time when you were playing golf. Some interesting anecdotes.
Well, when I was playing golf, golf was still at a very nascent stage in Bangalore, probably even India, I would say. And so I was here, was this 12-year-old kid on the golf course, everyone looking at me like I was an alien.
Mm-hmm.
What's this kid doing? He should be playing football or tennis or something that's, more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty much shooed off, and I was the only youngster on the golf course those days with a colleague of mine, Gaurav. And both of us started to play really well, really quickly, and started to beat all the older players.
Mm-hmm.
And soon we became the talk of the town. And there are these two kids who play better than all of us, and they're going to be great players. And it was unheard of in those days, I would say, to actually take up golf as a profession for a young kid who's going to regular school and things like that. Those days it was primarily, I would say, the caddy turned pros who would take the next step and turn professional.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a mixed bag at the golf club for us, because we were supported by half the membership. Half of them would say, get out of here, you don't need to be here. Luckily for me, I think my dad was very open, and although it wasn't my dad who gave me my first golf club, it was actually a friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
My dad thought I was too young to play.
Mm-hmm.
And a very dear friend of his, Mr. Paulos, gave me a 9 behind his back. Mm-hmm. And I began to hit balls and picked up the game very, very quickly. So it's quite strange initially growing up, but the fun started when we used to beat everybody. And of course, we had really huge egos then, because, we were the best young things in golf, and we used to walk on the golf course, with our collars up and our heads held high. So it was interesting. Yeah, it was not what I expected of the sport, but, I would never wake up in the morning for anything, but, I would get up at 5 o'clock every morning to play golf.
Fabulous.
Because I was in boarding school, you only get 3 months a year to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to the golf course from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening.
Wow. So, when you were playing competitive golf, that must have been a different high. What made you decide to move from playing to coaching? And what were your challenges as you made this transition?
So, the funny thing is that all the decisions that I took when I was playing golf, moving to the professional circuit especially, and every turn I took was the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
I think those days I didn't have a great mentor to tell me, or to guide me. And I think that's what I missed a lot in my youth, which is why today I'm a mentor to so many of these young kids, because I don't want them making the same mistakes. But, I did have somebody actually who advised me. There was Mr. Dilip Thomas, who is an ardent supporter of golf, of the A.V. Thomas Group. And he's the only guy who sat me down and said, Tarun, don't go the way you're going. you know, give it some time. And but I didn't listen, of course. You know, I was, you know, I was young and I was brash, and I was like, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so 2 to 3 years into my professional career, I found I was progressively getting worse rather than going the other way. And it was a hard time because, you know, I was heartbroken. You know, I had all these grandiose dreams of being on the European tour and the US tour. Mm. And I found that my game wasn't getting any better. And of course, not entirely my fault, but I didn't know it those days. And then I met my then guru, a coach from Italy. He used to come to India to coach a lot of players. And the first thing he told me was, you need to quit. And I was shocked because I had come to him to become a player. Mm. And I was about 23 years old. And he says, Tarun, you know, I've noticed a couple of things about you. And he said, one is, of course, you know, you have a great eye for detail. You know, you're very smart. And he says, your game is not at the point where you can really make a lot of money at the tour. And, you know, he says, you're only 23. You can't take grass from the greens and feed your family. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't listen to him. I was very, very adamant. And I said, no, you know, I don't want to be a coach. I want to be a player. He said, just listen to me. And luckily for me, he was setting up the National Golf Academy of India those days, which is the body that certifies coaches. So wow. He said, you just come for the first certification, do your initial certification, then we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I listened to him and I went. And it was an 8-day seminar. I was transfixed. I was in the front row. And, you know, I loved what I heard about technique and how the golf swing had evolved over the years. And at the end of the seminar, he sat me down and says, Tarun, I saw your eyes. Mm-hmm. He says, I know you'll be a great coach. Of course, I didn't accept it even then, but, you know, I walked away from that seminar and I started teaching part-time or so I thought. Mm-hmm. But I got sucked in because I realized that this was my calling. I was way better a coach than I thought I could ever be a player. Mm-hmm. And that's how the journey started at the Karnataka Golf Association. I started teaching and, you know, the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Very nice. So as a sport, is golf growing in India?
Oh, yes. I think golf is growing by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think our infrastructure can't take it. That's the sad part right now. But every young kid today who picks up a game, by the time he's 10 years old, wants to be a pro golfer. Mm-hmm. And the beauty is now parents' minds are more open to allowing their kids to pursue this. You know, so it's growing at a rapid rate. And I think that the infrastructure has to catch up, you know, in the next few years from the coaching standpoint, from the golf course standpoint, you know.
You know, I'm a member at DLF Golf Club and at Classic Golf Club in Delhi, in Gurgaon. Yeah. Okay. And I play there, but you're absolutely right. I mean, we can't get your slots on a Sunday morning. It's so difficult and it's just packed now.
There's another point I want to make is that the Indian physique is perfectly suited for golf.
Is it?
Right? I don't think we're suited too much for tennis or, let's say, European League football. It's perfectly suited for golf. Okay. Because we don't need the height or the speed and endurance that we require in tennis or football. Mm-hmm. Right? We just require some explosive power which can be developed. Mm-hmm. And a certain amount of muscular endurance. And skill we have. So, I believe in the next 10 to 15 years, more international accolades will come to this country from golf than any other individual sport.
Wow. That is so reassuring from a great coach. And that takes me to the next question, and I'm going to ask you this in any case, that what kind of training is needed that a young person needs to put in to get to the top as a golfer?
That's a really good question. And there's so many different aspects that go into a youngster's training. The key element is, I think, when the player actually starts moving into serious golf. Mm. And, you know, in our country, of course, education always gets in the way, which is why I created a system at my academy of alternative education where they can do the exams whenever they're ready, but they're still getting an education nonetheless. Mm. But yes, you have to look at a holistic system. You have to have a 360 degree approach to your training, whether it's the fitness aspect, the nutritional aspect, mm-hmm. The discipline aspect, the mentorship aspect, the technical aspect, all of that has to come together. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that, you know, we have a lot of talent in this country. We have a lot of talent in this country. And what's happening is that they disappear after a certain point. I would say more at the amateur level when they're above 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, today we have Anirban Lahiri, who's on the PGA Tour. We have Aditi Ashok from the LPGA. We have Subhankar Sharma. But nobody's asking the question as to why aren't there 10 of them? Why mm-hmm. aren't there 10 Anirbans and 10? And there's a reason for this. And I think one of the critical elements is the holistic nature of training, mm-hmm. which doesn't exist in many academies today.
Okay.
A lot of the kids, of course, because of maybe a lack of knowledge, go to a coach, which is good. but they don't take care of the other aspects, because today golf is also a power game. And if you start training the right way at the right time, you'll be as powerful as any of the players abroad. I've seen this at my academy. I've seen players hit the ball 240 yards, moving up to 280, 90 within a space of 2 years with that kind of training. And that is critical today. If you hit the ball 300 yards, you're going to find it tough to compete. So I think a holistic amount of training, education, a good balance between education and golf. But I would say balance where we tip the scales in the favor of golf, right? A lot of parents, you know, I can understand where they're coming from. They feel that, you know, that my kid at least finished 10th standard in the proper school or 12th standard, then we'll, you know, we'll go into golf. But it's too late by then. You know, these decisions have to be taken earlier on in life, around the age of, I would say, 12 or 13. That is when a kid is mature enough to know, you know, what it will take for him to or her to be on the world stage. And at that point, you have to build a team around them. And today, in cities, it's so difficult because it takes you 1 hour to go to school, 1 hour back, 1 hour to the golf course, 1 hour to the gym. And that's why we created the academy, because everything is a 2 minute bicycle ride away. So you're actually getting more bang for your buck through the day.
Very interesting. So let's talk about your academy now. When did you set up this academy, and what are some of the core values you stand by?
So we set up the academy. I moved to Zion Hills Golf County in 2013, purely to make use of the wonderful facility. 2015, we started the residences where we could actually bring kids and have them stay for periods of time and they could go back. And 2016, we started the school. So 2016 is actually, I would say, the birth of the entire 360 degree holistic system. You know, and we, the core values, the good question, I would say number one would be discipline, integrity, and ownership. We are very, very highly disciplined academy. For example, we don't allow cell phones on our campus. But that is a huge thing for most youngsters today. When you tell them that you have to give your cell phone in, I mean, there's withdrawal symptoms happening straight away. But what they don't realize is the cell phone is the biggest distraction today for most young kids. Right? And while they feel they're doing really well, even though they've got their cell phones, it becomes so distracting that while they're even practicing, they're not imbibing what's going on into the nervous system because their mind is somewhere else. So today, our kids at the academy are resting better, they're focusing better, they're sleeping better, just because they don't have this whole bunch of technology around them. Integrity for sure in terms of how they train. We are a very data-driven academy and we have a lot of data that's just expected from the players. They need to do their work. We set standards for them. They cannot go and play a tournament until they've achieved a certain standard. You know, and ownership. The whole journey is yours. You have to take ownership of it. I'm not going to hold your hand through the entire process. Maybe when in your first 3 months, yes. So if you look at our academy, you won't find our coaches constantly sitting on players' heads. We're only observing because they've already got their schedules, their timetables. They have to go through the grind themselves. Of course, we're always there if they need help. No doubt about that. But by and large, you see our players doing their work. They know what they're doing. And they know what it will take for them to get to the next level.
Amazing. And when you say that you have a school, is this what, a K-12? Or is it, you know, what school is it?
It's a 6th grade to 12th grade school. We have tied up with a company called Prozi. Prozi is Professional Sports and Education, run by a very close friend of mine called Mahesh Rao, who was initially a client of mine and then helped me through this journey. They have a parent school in Mysore, and all the classes are related to a studio. So it's an online system, and which is great for us because when COVID hit, nothing happened to us because we could just continue because we were already there. But 6th to 8th standard is regular CBSE. Why we do this is because in 8th standard, the player has an out. If he wants to go back to regular schooling, he can just leave us in 8th and say, you know what, this is not my cup of tea, I need to go back to regular schooling. But once the player hits the 9th standard, we move into the NIOS system, the National Institute of Open Schooling. And generally, NIOS is unstructured because, you know, you log in on the website, you sign up, and you have to figure out, you know, your journey to 10th and 12th grade. Basically, there are two exams only in the NIOS system, the 10th standard final and the 12th standard final. But what we've done is we've structured it. Rosie has structured it such that you're still going to regular school. All our kids go to school 3 hours every day. You know, and the beauty of NIOS is you can give the exam when you're ready. So most of our players finish their 10th standard in 18 months and their 12th standard in 18 months. It gives them that leeway. And I would say one of our players, Aryan, who's a national champion today, only got there because of the NIOS system. He was able to play when most other players weren't able to. So that's the education system that we have currently.
And, you know, when you look at golf coaching, I've often read about this, that there is a science associated with golf coaching. What is the science?
I think I was very fortunate. I was good in science in my class, but I think there's a lot of physics involved in golf, and a lot of anatomy involved in golf. If you understand these two things well, you can become a good coach and you'll learn how to, how to teach better. The key thing in golf is diagnostics. Today, I feel very good because I've worked with some of the top teachers in the world. We follow a set system of training at our academy, and it's very easy to diagnose an issue and you have less time wasted. So if you're good at the sciences, it definitely helps. I'm not saying it's the be all and end all. You can still be a good teacher if you don't have a super understanding of physics and biology, but if you do, it definitely helps, because each joint, each muscle, moves in so many different ways. Just if you look at just your wrist, you have extension, flexion, radial deviation, ulnar deviation, just in one single joint, right? So, and you need to know how to view that on a camera to understand what is causing what, because each movement at various parts of the swing, so you have what we call degrees of freedom, right? You could be in ulnar address, radial going back, coming back to impact, you're in ulnar, you're going into extension through impact. All of this causes a change in the ball flight. And what we need to do with our players is understand which of those pieces need to be corrected to ensure that this particular player's ball flight can be enhanced.
I wish I had met you 40 years ago and I wouldn't have been hacking away on my ball. But you were probably not born then. So.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I would have been 3 years old then.
Oh, no. So, tell me, in a country where education has always taken precedence, every parent tells the child, get yourself educated, then do whatever you want to. How are parents supporting their children to take up golf?
I'm very pleasantly surprised. Currently, we have about 40 kids at the academy, all of whose parents have bought into the system. I have parents telling me, Tarun, I don't want my kid to join my business because it's just stress. I want to do something he loves. So the attitude of parents is changing quite a bit. That being said, we don't want our kids to be uneducated. I know there are a lot of kids today who give up school in the 8th and 9th grade to pursue their golf. I'm not a subscriber of that at all. All our kids get educated to the undergraduate level at least. Otherwise, not allowed to be at the academy. Okay. And the funny thing is that there's a direct correlation also between education and performance. All the kids who do really well in class are also the kids who are able to do very well in competition. There's a reason behind that. It's simply because they learn to process information better. They learn to take better decisions on the golf course. So we encourage all our kids to do well in class as well. Parents, I have about a 20-year experience in dealing with them. It's the mothers are usually the ones who are very, very keen on the education. So I have to handle them differently. The fathers are usually all about the golf performance. And it's a tough journey because, you have to talk to sets of parents every day, assuring them or reassuring them. And at the end, there's still no guarantee that your kid's going to make it. So what we do is we are providing a roadmap for them. At the academy also, I know that in about 10 years, we'll have a gross shortage of great coaches and mentors. So we have actually started, the first coach mentorship program where we are actually building the next generation of coaches as well. So we have two or three kids who graduated from our academy, but realize that they're not good enough to make it as a professional. And now they're working as interns and coaches. And they know that in about 3 to 4 years, they'll be able to run academies on their own. So most sportsmen who are in sport would love to continue being in the industry of sport, whether it's, sport management, whether it's golf coaching themselves, administration, golf course design. There's so much one can do, to stay within the sport. I had a student called Trisha who's gone abroad and done her, a course in golf course management and design. So, she's getting job offers from Canada and Hawaii and, places like that. So, that we don't take care of their education. We definitely do. We're also very, very concerned about what they will do in case things don't work out.
Okay.
Not that we tell the kid this, but we have a plan for them usually, right? And I think, I think most kids, like I said, they just love being outdoors, love being on the golf course. So whether it's coaching, whether it's doing anything connected to the sport. And if I look at my life, it's the same thing because, I knew that I wanted to be in sport. My father was a little concerned when I started coaching because I think the first month I actually coached, I earned about 9,000 rupees. I was thrilled because I was finally financially independent. But, it's all about how committed you are and, how good you want to be. So first I wanted to be the best player. Now I just want to be the best coach that ever has been in the country.
Amazing, amazing. So one more question for you before I move to some questions personally for you. There's a large golfing community in our country, and majority of them are golfers like me who play between 18 and 24. Are you planning to offer some coaching, facilities to seniors as well?
We do. We're open to anyone who has a desire to improve. So we have a lot of adults who come to the academy.
Okay.
The only thing is the academy is a trek from Bangalore, right? It's about a 1.5 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
But if, I would drive 1.5 hours in order to have a good lesson, right? And then get better at golf. So we offer lessons. We have an adult program as well, where we offer lessons to anybody who has a desire to improve. But then it's pretty much up to you to practice what you've learned, keep coming back. And I love setting goals. I love to take a guy who's at 24 handicap down to 12. It's so much fun, to see the glee on his face when he shot his first round in the low 80s. It's very gratifying for us. So we work with anybody who has a desire. Yes, our core competence is youngsters who want to become pros, but we work with anybody. So next time you're in Bangalore, please drop by. I'd love to take a look at your thing and see what you can do with that.
Done. So we'll move to the next segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally. So Tarun, great golfing career, great golfing coach career moving forward. From where you are today, what does success mean to Tarun?
For me, I think, for any coach, I would feel, but for me personally, I want to see our country do well in golf. I want to see our country live up to its potential in golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're a little bit away from that, but I do believe that if we have a great system of creating good players, a system which is funded well, where players don't have to worry about the money aspect of it, if they're talented, not having money shouldn't hold them back. That's my ultimate goal. So for me, success would be taking my system now to the next level where, we have enough money to fund players. We are able to send players out to different, different countries to play. And in the end, create major champions. I would like to see Indians winning the US Masters, the US Opens, the PGAs. And we are capable. We are very, very capable. But the key is we have to have somebody support us. We have to have somebody back us. And for me right now, that is my journey for the next 5 years, is to find that person, that corporate house, who is going to help us get to that next level. And I believe that only once we have a good infusion of money, where we have financial freedom to recruit players, to take players from any background, whether they're from a lower income background and fund them so that they can achieve their dreams. And then the system coming full circle where these same players who make it on the tours actually give back into the same system by maybe donating some of their prize money back into the system or coming and mentoring players. To create a full system like that, that would be my sign of success.
So I've got time for two more questions for you. My next question is that I've often read that a lot of golfers on the professional tour has the talent, but not the mental strength. And that when they're under pressure, they collapse. What does that mean?
So, mental strength, I would attribute it to the fact that it's about how they work and also a term called discipline, right? In the end, mental strength is all about how disciplined you are. Now, if you have a player who's very disciplined, does his work, works as hard as he possibly can, has the right kind of information going, he will feel always prepared when he goes for an event. And that's what we're training our kids to do, is they need to be prepared. That pressure doesn't mean that you, for the 1 week before the tournament, you go and hit 500 balls and prepare for the event. It's about what you've been doing the last 10 years of your life. And if you've been disciplined, if you don't drink or smoke, if you're doing everything in your power to get better than the rest, usually you don't have any issue with nerves, right? So for me, it's about mental discipline where, when you see that cell phone, you keep it off. When you see that hamburger, there's no decision fatigue, and there's no decision to be made because you want to be the better than the rest. So I always find that when a player says that he feels nervous, he's not able to, to let go in competition, I would normally look at the life that they live around golf. And I would generally find that there's something lacking over there. Because if you're doing everything you're supposed to do, your subconscious automatically is confident. And it's usually always a subconscious mind that brings you down. Right? Even though you stand on the golf tee box, consciously telling yourself you're confident, your subconscious mind will overpower you. So for me, it is about getting the players to live the right kind of life. Because, I'll be honest, we have a lot of young players today who are really talented, but they don't live the right way. They don't live like a world-class player, right? And then they expect to go out there and perform. It can't work like that. Okay. And naturally, they'll be nervous because they know deep down that they haven't done enough. They haven't done what it takes.
Interesting. Tarun, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I loved the incredible journeys you have shared with me of your own, some of the people you are coaching. I love the fact that you're also willing to give back to seniors because, you know, they have the time, they have the money, but they don't have the skill. So I think, you know, what you're doing for golf is incredible. And I really hope to see, as your dream is, you know, young Indians winning the Masters. That'd be incredible. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for having me on the program. It's wonderful talking to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.